Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Good evening and welcome to Car Wax. I'm Michael, your Bougie Black Brother, and I'm here for my special producer podcast. I try to go with a lot of my favorite producers that's been out for a while, or somebody I wanted to highlight, or somebody that's actually producing right now. And surprisingly, I came back to a producer that I really enjoyed back in the early 2000s. So around 2001, 2002 was his first couple of releases, but I actually jumped on him around 2007, 2009 time frame, and that is Dabry, D-A-B-R-Y-E. So this guy is pretty phenomenal in my eyes. You know, a lot of people probably don't know him because he's really a Detroit producer. So he's from Detroit and to Ann Arbor. So if you know the Ann Arbor guys, you know there's a lot of big time producers coming out of there, and the one that really stands out is J.D. And that was really one of his inspirational, J. Dilla, that he actually collaborated with during that time. So he has a little techno, kind of hip hop, kind of different flow. And during that time, I was looking at him and Flying Lotus, and they was really into this electronic, organic sounds and different type of things. And I just really, really got excited by what they did. And one of the things that Dabry did, his name is Tad Mullenix, if you didn't know. So look up Tad Mullenix. He was really hot, and during the time he was doing a lot of stuff overseas, but he really took a really bad turn when J. Dilla died, as well as his mother. So he almost quit music for almost a decade. And I'm representing him because he came back with Three of Three, because most of his other albums that came out, if you really go back, he had 1-3, 2-3, and his instrumental one. So now he finally came back in 2018 with 3-3. But I wanted to start back, but people did not know about him, I started this off with the instrumental cut, his instrumental album that he came out with, the introduction, which was a really cool intro that I always enjoyed because it had that Peebo Bryson cut, I'm So Into You. So every time you heard that song or knew that song was coming on, you heard that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And then you know he would get into his crooning and whatever from that. So it was like an amazing R&B song that people were so used to. And for him to use that as his intro into his actual cut that he produced, then you know this was going to be something really phenomenal. And what made it interesting more for me too was this was my first introduction to his sound and his style. So for him to use that, I was looking forward to everything. But this was the instrumental. I don't want to get into the instrumental because that was like the second album from his set of albums, because he did come out with 1-3. So really quick through his discography, or whatever you want to call it. Yet the 1-3 came out in 2001. And there's that album to me was phenomenal because it had 10 cuts, but it was so, so amazing that when you listen to it, it was kind of like, wow, where's this going? It had like a electronic feel, not quite, you know, it was away from like the disco or not too electronic. It was more hip hop type electronic, and it made it a lot more interesting to listen to. So from that one of the first ones I heard was With a Professional. That was the name of the cut. It was like number 3 from all of that. And it was almost like a stepping type song. So, you know, you do your little steppers and go from there. So it had that little beat and you put that on and you go, you step. So it was so cool. But that was one of the first ones from that album that I heard. So I was really excited by hearing it. And, you know, I played that. And when I had it on Pandora's, because that's where I was normally listening to a lot of it from, then I turned around and say, what else is on this guy? But they kept playing more of it too. So I didn't have to really start searching because a couple of them came in from there. And one of the more interesting ones was something called How Many Times With This. And it was an acoustic guitar. And when you put that on, it was just a simple acoustic guitar just playing and just steady. And you're like, what is this getting into? You know, not quite like a folksy song, but it had a really kind of upbeat little guitar and it was calming. It was kind of like, yay, hey. But that was like really, really cool. And then the beat came in and then he added and he overlaid a lot of things on top of it. So what Dabri did for me was it made me think about how you layer your production and how you would have one thing and then you put the next thing, then you put the next thing, then you put the next thing, then you do that. And then sometimes he would put something totally electronic on there and then he'll turn around and do something totally different. So he may overlay two things at the same time and then add one and then repeat it and then go from that. But he had a lot of little synthesizer type stuff into that. Like the first cut, Delish, was like that. And it was kind of like different little sounds. So he does a really good job for me personally. I just love the way he did so much things. And then he the two different ones with a professional and Hyped Up plus tax. That's the ones that you kind of hear a lot of places, but those wasn't my favorites. You know, he had a lot of other ones on there, and as well as I'm Missing You. So if you see how that one started, that was like a little drum beat with an echo in it. And then he'll come in and then he'd be like kind of like distorted and go from there. And then it'll go in to the distortion and electronics once again. But I'm Missing You was one of those other cuts that I was kind of like, wow, this is just so cool. So after that one, and this was his first, this was 2001. And then if you jump out of that, you know, the expectation was, you know, what would two be like? You know, once you go into two, it would be the same thing. But he didn't have two. What he did, he went into and have another instrumental album that he was doing. So when he did the instrumental album, it came out with a whole lot of different things. And the one that was like had this spooky type sound to it, that was really unique. And they played it, but they didn't play it as much because it was kind of hard for people to see it, because he started with a certain beat and then it was like a spooky piano. It was D-Town Tabernacle Choir. So I was kind of like, every time I started, I think of another song and then the piano will come in and then it's kind of like a almost like a spooky kind of laid back kind of sound, and it's repetitive all the way through. It doesn't change too much. It just has a creepy kind of piano sound. And he played it all so often in there. And it was just phenomenal to me. And then when you hear that, you can see his uniqueness and how he created music. And when he created in that way, it takes you somewhere else. So which made him very, very unique. But I think he's got hidden because it was the era that he was in. And then this is a Detroit guy too. You know, you're really looking at a lot of East Coast, West Coast people that's doing a whole lot of other different kind of hip hop sounds. So is this really hip hop in some people's eyes? Maybe not. But then the one release that came out of that you would hear almost commercially is his Evelyn. And that Evelyn was a nice move, almost like a dedication type thing. It's a riding type song. And when that came out, I've heard that, and they start playing that right behind the other ones from his 1-1 album, and they mix Evelyn in. So I was kind of looking to see if that was, and then when I finally got to the album, I was like, it's not on that one. Where is this from? And then I found it on the instrumental. But that one was another 10 cut series too. So I kind of enjoyed it and went from there. But outside of that, this really instrumental album was just as unique as the other one. But it made you look forward to say, what would 2 and 3 sound like? You know what I mean? So that brings me to Daubree's 2-3. That's the third album, or the second album of the series, but third overall. And what makes this more interesting is this is when he starts incorporating a lot of rappers, and probably in somewhat producers as well, but more so the rappers. This isn't beat up Detroit rapper review either, so please keep that in mind. But he has a lot of I guess average rappers on there, and they're out, they've been out for years. I haven't seen a lot that's current, but only a couple to me stand out. He had a rapper Big Tone, Andre Barnes, Paradigm, Guilty Simpson, which are kind of like Beans, Vast Ari, which is part of another group, and Cadence, which I really like, and Guilty Simpsons. Those are the ones that stood out. And then there's the Fat Cat and Jay Dilla, which is one of the most prominent ones that kind of stood out in this series. But if you look, what he did, which I really, really enjoyed, is he did 2 albums. So he did the 2-3, and then he did the 2-3 instrumental. So with the 2-3 instrumental, he only did 13 cuts, because the 2-3 had 20 cuts, but had a total of 7 instrumental cuts that was on there. So if you listen to the instrumental and you kind of like, okay, that's all that they had. No, you really got to go back to the actual, which is the 2-3 non-instrumental. And the only non-instrumental that I thought wasn't that good was the Machines Part 1 and Part 2. He could have got rid of those two, and then he would have been fine. I think he was doing something. If you listen to Machines, it's really kind of, it wasn't that well done. But he did have 4 other ones, or 5 other ones, that I really enjoyed. Which I'll start with, because I won't go back and forth with, because what he did also was collaborate with a couple other producers as well. So you can see that one of them is Wajid, Waajed, which is a combination of another group, which is like really cool too. They're part of the Platinum Pied Pipers, which they have on this album, Invincible and Finale. They are part of that group as well. So they had that on there. So if you really listen to the one that I kind of like, Tell Them. So Tell Them is cool. Tell Them is the one I play, that I kind of promote to people, because I just think that is such a hard beat. And the way he did it, and how he kind of laid the cuts on everything, it's a really well done production. And that started me off with listening to that album, which I thought was actually on the instrumental album. So it's kind of odd, because he had so many, like I said, about 7 cuts that's not on the instrumental album, but it wound up being really, really good. And then from that, it was like a Georgie, which was okay. That one, I could take it or leave it, but it was better than the Machines. But then you jump into Piano, or Bloop. I'm sorry, it's Bloop. Bloop is cool. It's like a little spacey type beat, and you know, goes back to his electronic type production that he did in his previous two albums. So he kind of said, I'm going to go back with a little synthesizer, a little type of electronic deal from that. But it was really, really spacey, and I like that spacey feel. Even when I try to create my own, I like to sometimes have that little spacey, almost NASA sounding type deal. And he did it really, really cool with that. And that made it really interesting. Then you jump into piano and, you know, you hear the word and your assumption is, it's going to sound like that Tabernacle joint. So let's see what this actually will sound like. But you start off with this guitar type, which is kind of like, whoa, what the hell? I said, whoa, this is so cool. And then got the beat, and then the organ cuts in. And then when you get that organ that sits up inside of there, you're kind of like, whoa, where is this going? But it has such a rhythmic feel to it. Almost, you know, like Sean always say, hey, something to ride to. So this is like a riding song. And you're riding this, and you're kind of like, damn, okay, I see what he's doing. But it's exciting. And then he layered on top of the organ, then he put something else on there. But you got your drum beats on the back end, you got the guitar that kind of introduced everything, and then you turning around and then doing your mixture on all of that. And I just thought this was a really, really amazing cut as well. So this one set off really cool for one of the instrumentals on the regular 2-3 album. So that brings me to the two cuts that I really wanted to throw away with the artist Vast Air and the cut That's What's Up. So what got me with that was the beat was so ingenuitive or unique, the way he actually created it, that I didn't really want to hear this guy. And this guy was really, really, he wasn't good enough. And maybe this was way back when, because I haven't heard anything current from him. And I'll come back to that a little later. But when I heard this, I immediately went to the instrumental. So if you're listening to this, this is like a video game pinball beat that he used and then put a drum beat behind it and then actually put it all together and played it through, and it went really, really well. So it started off kind of like, you know, all just like, what the hell is this, you know? And then he rolled it into a beat, which made it freaking extraordinary. So That's What's Up was the first one. So I wanted to let you hear Vast Air. You know, I can't even listen to it for so long, but that's the one that's on there. And as you're listening to this, you're kind of like, put that instrumental back on, please. So, but that's Vast Air right there. I just can't keep going with that. You know what I mean? So anyway, the next one on top of that was My Life, which is a little different as well. So you check out the rapper on there, Andre Barnes. So he's on there, and he's telling his little story, but yeah, it's just, I'm not really feeling anything. If you listen to the whole thing, you're kind of like, okay, he just gave him something to kind of roll with as well. So it was cool. I mean, I didn't think too much of it, but I really wanted to hear the beats on it, because there you go again. Is this his organ? Is this kind of guitar? What is he really actually putting on here? So this was like really, really cool. And I didn't even hear the My Life Andre Barnes joint. I actually heard the instrumental first. So I was kind of like, ooh, let me see who's rapping on top of that. And then I was like, oh my God. Okay, let's put that back on too. But the thing is, there's a lot of other standouts on side of here, so we ain't gonna go line for line on all of these, because it was it is 20 cuts, but I want to kind of lean toward the standouts. The standouts is one of my favorite rappers too, MF Doom or Doom or whatever you want to call him, but he's just amazing. And the cut is Air. And they have like multiple versions of this shit. They got an acapella one, they got a couple of remix ones, they got different things, but MF Doom is on here, just clowning like he always do. And I just enjoy his awkward type flow and what he puts together, because it's playful, it's awkward, but he always knows how to sit on the beat, so he does a really, really good job of that. So also real quick, a lot of people don't know that where MF Doom or Metal Face, Metal Fingers, where he kind of, when I first heard him on Third Base, and he was on as Zev Love X with the Third Base crew, and I was like, whoa, these dudes is cool. And he had a little group with his, I think his brother that died, and I forgot the name of the guy. You know, I can go in and do that. But the thing is, he goes by Victor Vaughn or Metal Face or King Ghidra. Which is like really cool. But if you listen to him, because he does his own production as well, so you listening to this guy, he's really into what he does. And if you listen to this beat, even behind it, the beat is just extraordinary, and he raps on top of that, I think, extraordinary as well. So I was so glad to hear MF Doom on here. And then you have two other artists, and I want to go with Cadence. Cadence, I've kind of followed a little bit, I think, and he's been on here. And the other one, you know, Fat Cat and J Dilla. But the ones that I'm really more so looking at is Guilty Simpson and Cadence, because they don't get a lot of highlight. You don't hear them a lot unless you do some underground or you follow them in other things. But they have two good cuts on there. Well, actually, Cadence is on two different ones, and I think Guilty Simpson, he shows up in a lot of things. I think Guilty Simpson was on one of the Diamond D cuts, Dime Piece, because I was listening to that because I just wanted to hear some Diamond D, and I heard him on that. I was like, whoa, Guilty Simpson's on there. But this is 2014, though. It wasn't anything current. But let's start with Cadence, because Cadence has a different kind of flow. He's trying to throw like intelligent words, putting things across. I just like his flow. What are you talking about? Some of that shit don't go together. So to be perfectly honest, it just, some of it goes together, some of it just flows because the way he does it. And I like sometimes lyrically how people put things together, even if it doesn't make any sense. You know, you had rappers way back that just put things together, and then you have new rappers who mumble like a motherfucker that still get some popularity and people follow them. So I just thought Cadence is he's pretty good. And the one that really got out there was the Encoded Flow. I mean, you're kind of hearing it right now, but in the back you can hear him kind of flipping back and forth, saying a couple of things. And he does a really good job on that. So he flows really well on that. Then you have Reconsider, and Reconsider is another one of the beats that I heard before I actually heard him. But his name is associated to it, but you don't really hear him on here. So you really listening to the distorted beat by Dobry. And I just like this one. But, you know, Cadence is associated to that. I'm not sure if he's, you know, assisting on the production or the ad-libs that you hear in here. But Cadence is on this one. And so you go back and listen to this and say, well, what did Cadence do on this? May not have done much of shit, you know what I mean? But I love, see the mixture of everything. So What I'm liking about majority of what's going on in 2-3 is he made a change to the way he started the other stuff, but he's almost advancing. So, but he's advancing almost in the same way that he started everything else. So that's why I enjoyed the way Dobry has actually moved ahead. Now, Crazy Flying Lotus, he's tried so many things, so he's really, really different the way he does his production. And you can go from one to, I guess, his seventh album, and he's got ridiculously, you know, easy for me to say, of how he's changed his style and the people he's dealt with, and then, you know, his commercialized stuff. But Daubree, he really kind of kept to it, which, listening to all of this, and I really wanted to have this first before I start talking about the third album, is because this is where he was. And then you go into his third album and you still hear a difference from the initial two albums, but it still has those similarities and the stuff that he loves. And, you know, fans like myself still love what he does. So it just works out for, like, us. But that was the cadence. But now you get to the raw Guilty Simpson guy. And I think that's what a lot of people like, the raw dog type, Detroit, grimy, you know, similar to that New York feel, Chicago feel. That's that Guilty Simpson feel that you get. And one of the main ones is Special, you know, and with Guilty Simpson on that. So one of the things that makes, to me, a good street rapper is when they can give you the feel of what they go through, what they see, or what it's like. And in a playful way, in a really harsh, hardcore way, or any way that they can kind of paint the picture. And regardless of the beat that you throw underneath them, they're fucking slaying it. And you got your tone and your voice can go definitely with it. So that's why I like Guilty. Guilty Simpson really kind of just gives me that. And, you know, you can hear his flow in the background. And I just like the way whatever they give to him, he does a good job with it. Is he top shelf guy? No, I'm never going to put him with, you know, West Coast type. The New Davies, the Southern rappers that's really telling you about the trap. I don't put him there, but he has a really good descriptive way of rapping, so you can see exactly what he wants you to see. So he pictures a really good, or paints a really good picture of what you need to see. And, you know, I kind of like that. And so I kind of enjoyed his flow on here. But again, not top shelf rappers. But jumping from that, you can see or listen to the popular one, which is the Fat Cat and Jay Dilla, which he took a lot of, Daubree took a lot of his actual the way he produces and how he listens to things from Jay Dilla. So that's what that, you know, really threw his mind off with music when Dilla died. But Game Over, I heard that one too outside of the album, because there was like an EP on Game Over, and I was able to kind of listen to that. And, you know, you got like multiple versions. You got the JD and the Fat Cat acapella. You got the instrumental one. You got the radio version. You got so many of the actual Game Over versions of that it was kind of like, yo, this is just so fly. But he did it with JD. So when JD puts his hands or puts his voice on something, you know he's putting his influence on it as well. So I wanted to kind of close this out. I was going to close it out with Game Over, but I missed the actual group with the Wajid producers, the Platinum Pied Pipers. There are the two, I think, is Invincible and Finale. I really wanted to play them too, so you could take a listen to them. That Finale, I'm okay with, but Invincible gives me a Rakim feel. So he took kind of like a Rakim flow. So if you hear that, your discretion is the one that I like more so. And then they have the other one, Get It Together, which sounds like definitely even almost a Eric B beat. But if you, as you listen to Viewer Discretion, I like the uniqueness of the beat and the way Actually, Invincible is rhyming. Finale is, you know, she plays off on him, which is cool. But on the Get It Together, it's kind of like the rapid fire, and he's doing like the hook and everything on there. So as you listen to Get It Together, listen to that rapid fire and as he rides on that one. But his voice is just too familiar for people to kind of separate them. So when you're kind of hearing this, you're hearing the same thing, or you're hearing something similar. It's just that Rakim isn't rapping no more. So you kind of hear this guy now, straight out of Detroit. But so as you see his flow, I mean, he does really well. It gives you that reminiscent feel of Rakim as well. So I kind of found that actual cut from the Sweat the Technique album, R.B. Rakim, back in 1992. So that beat is actually, that sounds similar to that, and pretty much have that kind of rapid fire, is Casualties of War. And as you see it, that beat kind of flows similar to the way this Get It Together is. So I really like how he did that and how he came across and how he was able to kind of do the things like Rakim would have done in his case. So Rakim would have actually flowed the same way with this newfound beat, and he would be like, yo, this is how I do it. But Eric B isn't as complex as Dabri, so you're not getting that combination of complexities and the beats and everything. What you actually getting with Eric B and Rakim is, let me put some old school jazz, a little soul, and then I let Rakim just ride all on top of that. So that kind of works for what we're looking at and how I wanted to see the similarities. So I kind of dug in and say, yo, that's the one that I was thinking about. And you can hear pretty much the similarities of the two. So part two of this is actually all about 3-3 of Dabri. I wanted to do this one as an introduction to his past work. And then as we start listening to the new, you can kind of say, did he change? Should he have changed? And just a lot of other things that you can look at to say, either I like him or I don't like him, or please don't review this dude again. But me, that's the guy I like. So I really enjoy his work. I enjoy how he kind of brings out a lot of the Detroit players that's out there. And he's given a voice to them if no one else is. And I think he just does a good job. I enjoyed it. Is he one of the top producers that's out there? No, I think his intent isn't really to make beats for rappers. I think his intent is just to make music. And I enjoy how he makes his music, so that's why I wanted it here. So tune back in to part two, where we get into Dabri's 3-3, which is new release for 2018, and you can let me know what you think of this new one. But see you then, and we'll see you next time on Car Wax. Peace. I'm going to go to the hospital.